Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners meeting November 4th. I'd like to welcome everybody. And can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Chairman John Trent.
Present.
Vice Chairman Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Corey Valance.
Present.
Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Attorney Lloyd Smith.
Here.
Attorney Jonathan Huddleston.
Here.
Thank you. Invocation, pledge allegiance by Commissioner Ronald Wesson.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we thank you for all your blessings, Lord God. We bow our heads in open submission to your will. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord God, when you've given us more than we deserve. But we also thank you for your mercy when you've given us less than we deserve. Lord God, you've given us an opportunity as commissioners here to represent the citizens of this great county. Lord God, we don't always agree, Lord God, but the people in this community don't always agree. So our job is just to do the things that we think are best that will serve all of us in the best way that we possibly can. We thank you for just being able to represent the people who we are a part of in this community. And we know that there are a lot of needs and we've got our hands full trying to meet as many of them as we possibly can. Thank you for all those who turned out today and all those who are listening to us on Zoom. Being a part of this community is important, and monitoring what we do and representing them. Thank you for all of your blessings again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the
pledge.
The
flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. One of the first things on our agenda is something that's very, impressive as far as the people we have to serve in our emergency services. We started this back in 2013-14, right in that area. And Berkeley County Emergency Services soared to, I have to say, second to none. I always call them Berkeley County Finest, because they are. We're going to sacrifice time and effort in saving lives every day, and also putting their own lives on the line while they're doing it. They're going into hot zones as far as it could be a crime committed, things of that nature, and they're also saving people at the same time. At this time, our staff and our emergency service personnel have been going to Western North Carolina to help survivors, to help the people that have been displaced and the injured, and still taking care of our people in Berkeley County at such a high level that we've never had before. And I'd like to turn around for all the commissioners to go down to the very front, because I have some certificates I would like to read out. Appreciation. First would be our director, Mr. John Rawls of Emergency Services. Just come up here, sir. I'd like to give him a hand. For what you've done and how you've led your people, okay? I know you're fairly new, but we see leadership here, and I appreciate everything you've done. The rest of these commissioners do too. I'd like to present the certificate of recognition. The certificate presented to Mr. John Rawls in this recognition of outstanding commitment and selfless service as an emergency medical service professional during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina. Your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Miss Tabitha Rose Vaughn.
She's not here.
Evan Ferguson. I'd like to say, Mr. Ferguson, thank you very much again for your service and what you've done in going out to Western North Carolina, taking time away from your family, taking time away from Bertie County citizens. But you served us well, and you have since you've been here. And I want to tell you thank you very much on behalf of all the county commissioners. And I'd like to read this certificate of prison to Evan Ferguson. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service in the emergency medical service profession during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciated. And again, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Kimmy and Corey. Again, here's one of our other ones that has done a fantastic job. She's been here for a little bit, and just to tell you, you know, when you turn around and you have children, you have all these different things you got to take care of, and then you get transplanted and sent out to Western North Carolina to help the ones that can't help themselves, you're the one, okay?
Thank you.
I want to tell you thank you very much on behalf of all the Bertie County commissioners and for the citizens of Bertie County. And I'm going to read every single one of these. Maybe the same thing, but I'm going to read every one of them. Certificate of recognition. The certificate is presented to Kimmy Ann Corey. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service in the emergency medical service profession during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication of providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciated. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you do, Kimmy.
Thank you.
And she is a chief. Jennifer Lee. Stop right here. If you notice, Ms. Lee is a captain, okay, in our emergency services. She serves us well, as everybody does on emergency services. I just can't speak high enough for these people. I'll be honest with you. I mean, as I sat down, and this is the truth, I think half of them have been to my house to pick up my elderly people, my elderly family members and things of that nature. And I just want to tell you thank you very much for your service, okay? Thank you so much. Certificate of recognition. The certificate is presented to Jennifer Lee. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service as an emergency medical service professional during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for what you do for Bertie County and the others around us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Next one's Lauren Dunlop. Ms. Dunlop.
Yes, sir.
You're going to turn right here, okay? And again, a captain, okay? Serving us well here in Bertie County, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate your service. And thank you for everything you do for the people in Bertie County. I hear nothing but compliments about our EMS, our emergency services, everybody that's involved with this thing. I'm just telling you, the county itself could not exist without you, okay? And I want to tell everybody that is a part of emergency services. Certificate of recognition. This certificate is presented to Lauren Dunlow. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service as an emergency medical service professional during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Raymond Reese. Captain Reese.
Yes, sir.
Captain Reese has personally, as much as the other ones, have been to my parents' house, has helped me when they have fell and broke hips and femurs and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Even when their house burnt down and they were 84 years old, 85, lost everything they had. He was there as an emergency service guy. The respect I have for you and what you do and the way you treat people. You treat everybody wonderful. I've seen how you are. And I want to tell you, you're so deeply appreciated. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service of emergency medical service professional during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciated. And I mean that from the heart. Thank you so much. Ryan Hogger. Now, this is a tough guy, okay? You can tell he's a tough guy. And what it boils down to, we're all going to sit here and slop on you just a little bit because you do a wonderful job for us and tell you how much we appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
This certificate of recognition to Brian Hogger. In recognition of your outstanding commitment and selfless service in emergency medical service profession during disaster relief efforts in Western North Carolina, your dedication to providing care and support in times of crisis is invaluable and greatly appreciated. We love you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for what you do. Olivia Ambrose. Thank you. Alexis Elmore. Ashley Lassiter. One thing going back to our emergency services, you know, the wonderful thing about everybody that's sitting in this room right here, not only have I had personal experience with it, but the rest of these commissioners have also in emergency situations, okay? And we've seen them on the side of the road taking care of people that they don't know, they're not our family, but they're turning around, they are family because of Bertie County citizens. And they're showing just as much love to those people on the side of the road when they need the assistance or in their houses. We get compliments every day, I do, from the different people, and I have to revert back still to, you know, we're dealing with an aging community, and the things that you guys do, and the simple things that you say to our adults or older people that we're having to service is just wonderful because you get nothing but phone calls back. We do. And I want to tell all of you, thank you very much for your service. And at one time, Bertie County would not even be considered to go to Western North Carolina. As Commissioner Weston and myself, back in 2013-14, the emergency service program, they got privatized and went into the county itself where we took it over and gave 60-70 jobs to the people of Bertie County where they could earn a living, they could turn around and have retirement, they could have medical insurance instead of being volunteers and things of that nature, and it has turned into such a wonderful program, not only for Bertie County, but for the people who work here at the county itself. And again, a round of applause for all of you. Comments, 3 minutes. Is there any 3 minute public comments? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Karen Dameron, and I reside at 223 Grabtown Road here in Windsor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. My concern that I bring before you, the Board of Commissioners, is the trash dump on Highway 17. Now, Grabtown Road is not fortunate enough that we are in the city limits, so we have to take our trash down on Highway 17. I don't know if any of you have to do the same thing, but if you do, then you know the entrance to the trash dump will knock your vehicle out of line. As recent as today, I was down there and I was talking to the person that was there, And the employee was also concerned about cars having to slow down, not lock their cars out of line, and there's traffic coming. Now, I don't know whose responsibility that is, but I'm doing my research. So I'm coming to you tonight to ask if it is your responsibility to maintain the entrance to the trash dump and the lot in the trash dump. There are potholes, we need gravel, or we need sand, or we need something. I've already reached out to the Department of Transportation, the highway, and I'm now going to make a public request for the contract that you have with Republic Services to see who is responsible for maintaining the property that the trash dump is on, because it is in dire need of some services at this time. Yes. And I would appreciate your opportunity to go down there, if you don't have to go that way, to drive your vehicle in that trash dump and actually see how detrimental it could be to your vehicles. And I thank you.
And I'm going to answer your question real quick.
Oh,
it
okay.
is Republic Services' responsibility to maintain that convenience site.
Okay.
And also the pathway, the roadway going into it.
Okay.
Rock.
Okay.
As soon as you leave that pavement, it's their responsibility. Take care of that, take care of everything inside that perimeter, inside the fence line.
Well, that will be the next person I'll be contacting.
And I'll call Patrick tomorrow morning also.
Okay, and tell Patrick to expect a phone call from me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
We're actually located in my district, and it's kind of strange, but at the beginning of this meeting, because I was there myself today.
Okay.
And I got two calls over last weekend about it as well. You're right, and it's not only the entrance, that's the exit, and even within the site.
Okay.
So I didn't know you covered the speaker this morning, but I just spoke to assistant county manager, and he's going to make sure that he contacts him immediately.
Okay.
And ask them to.
Well, I'll give Patrick an opportunity to get that call immediately before I follow up. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
man. I appreciate it.
Any other 3-minute comments? Yes, sir.
County Forest Ranger Dave Hoffer, nice to meet you, commissioners. Thank you for giving me some time to talk with you all. I just wanted to give you kind of where we're at. We met with the county manager, assistant county manager, finance director on Thursday, and we're, you know, at a pretty tough spot for the Forest Service. So I just want to, you know, be here and see if you all had any questions about anything that we're doing or any kind of forestry stuff. I just want to be available to y'all, and we're hoping that we can get way forward tonight, so that way we can be whole in the Forest Service for Bertie.
Again, another service here in Bertie County that is serving all the public and the foresters and landowners and things of that nature. Again, thank you for what you do. When you go out there, it's a fire, and everybody knows what the life on the line is, and I want to tell you thank you very much, and we're looking.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more 3-minute comments? Okay. Pecan Pickling Festival update by Dr. Patricia Ferguson.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so very, very much. As you can see, I'm loaded with a lot of things to hand out. Mr. Chairman and the Board of Commissioners, thank you guys so much for this opportunity to come before you to give you an update on the Femme Festival. Mr. Chairman, may I please approach to pass out some things to you? Thank you very much. Let's see here. There are two documents, another three things I'm going to be, sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm handing out a summary of the overview of the Femme Festival, and I'm also handing out an addendum to that. So there are two of you doing, and then I'm going to come back and hand out to you. There's that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here's the addendum. I think there's an addendum to this. Great, I found my notes. That's a real good thing. And Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to give out you a copy of the program booklet, and you can look at it at your leisure from my last festival. I can put that in here.
And this is a copy of the booklet. All right. This goes up here. Did I drop one? Thank you kindly. All right. What kind of goodies in the sun of your Christmas? And this is yours. And this is yours.
Thank you.
Do you have one? And also, of course, but I did get dinner. I thought I had two copies of the
mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you again for this opportunity. I want to say, first of all, thank you guys for rescuing us with the red carpet. You guys were just an absolute rescue. We thank you for that so very, very much. Secondly, it was a really tough year. Equity Films and the Film Festival was amazing, but we never envisioned 122 films. I think I had 28 on yours, but it was 122 films. We never imagined that year two would have been 122 films. So of course the infrastructure was not in place. How do you move from 70 to 122 in just 1 year? So it was very difficult in terms of managing all of those pieces, looking at flourishing it as an economic development piece, taking a look at the tourism component, bridging all those pieces together, and then pulling off another film festival to showcase the independent filmmakers, especially in Northeastern North Carolina, to pursue the vision that talent and creativity lives everywhere. And it's not just in Hollywood or Atlanta or in Wilmington. So I am hopeful that this coming year is not as tough, because it was really, really, really hard pulling off this year. Can I express that enough in terms of resources such as the ability to make purchases and trophies and talent and bands and all the things that come along with the film festival? When you look at your book, you guys on page 35, and you all are looking amazing. So I am very happy to share that. But very quickly, I would like to go over Equity Films' bold vision. And the reason it says bold is because there is something that I tell everyone that's in my space, is there are many hands that lift the vision. It's not one or two or three. And often people will say, your vision, Patricia, but it's really not, right? So when a vision is given or a person has as an impartation of something possible, if it does not have the many hands that lift it, it does not matter how big the vision. The key becomes the communication of that vision to key resources and key persons who become collaborators, and then it moves forward. And so I am so very happy that this county was the first county to say, let's do this, Patricia, back in, I do believe it was January 18th, 19th, or the 16th, of 2023. I will never forget that day when we were at the Bertie Center and the motion was moved and carried to make this happen. I've given you a little history at the beginning. This report, I've already introduced it. We screened 37 films. And what it made it even more difficult was that we had 18 full feature films submitted. I'll say that again. We had 18. So we had to be about the business of finding more than doubling our judge base and pulling on people to view films. 18 films at two and a half hours each is already about 40 hours of watching films, not including the other, 102 movies that ranged from 8 minutes up to about 60, 70, 80 minutes. When I tell you it was a challenge for us, it was. We were not prepared for it. Growth can be an amazing thing, but you've got to be ready for it. And I think that's the message that you guys are sending tonight. It's one thing to be blessed, and it's another to be ready. So we're hoping this year that we do a better job at that. Festival overview, our growth was 69%. If you look at your sheet that I gave you, it says that the growth analysis, 72 films, 122, that was a growth of 69%. And keep in mind, we have no staff. We have no paid staff. Everyone involved with Equity Films and the Film Festival is 100% volunteers. And that made it even more difficult, because the thing you don't want to do is you don't want to take your volunteers and be a nuisance. Like I can be. I need this, I need that. And they were very kind toward me. They're extremely kind toward me. Audience engagement, at your leisure, please read that. Future prospects. I talk about infrastructure and organizational development. Staff, marketing and outreach, workshops and panels. I talk about the funding needs. And one of the things that is really crucial in all of this, when I take a look at joint concerted advocacy, I will be presenting at your next board meeting, not me personally, but in your packets, a resolution that I'll be asking all of you to examine very carefully. And the resolution is in support of Equity Films' petition for preservation, restoration, and rebuilding of rural small-town movie theaters in northeastern North Carolina. I cannot express how critical it is, because when our filmmakers in northeastern North Carolina are looking for places to launch their movies, they have to go places, Charlotte, Raleigh, all of these places where they're inundated already with filmmakers, right? And so the competition there really creates another dynamic that I don't think they need. So distribution of their films become very, very difficult. So my petition here, my resolution, simply says, hey, you guys, and I know it's not in your hands to do. It is going to be a broad approach from our representatives like Don Davis and those groups all the way down to small town mayors and their town councils to make the case that it is okay for us to have consideration that we have small movie theaters that can double for event centers, kids' birthday parties, whatever. But their purposes can be dual. So that is very important to me that we will be sharing that. Now, if you would go to the addendum that I gave, that I handed out, I just wanted to make some notes. The American film and television industry supports 2.74 million jobs, paying out $242 billion in total wages. And companies comprise more than 122 businesses. And this is an analysis done by the Motion Picture Association. Film and TV industry employment overview, total jobs supported, 4.6 million jobs across various sectors, including production, distribution, and exhibition. Direct jobs, there are about 1.5 million direct jobs within the industry. These jobs, and it keeps going. So let's go to North Carolina. If you flip the page to North Carolina, total jobs supported. In 2022, the film and television industry in North Carolina supported approximately 16,000 jobs statewide. The film and television industry contributed approximately $258 million to the North Carolina economy. Now, keep in mind, before COVID, the numbers were a lot higher, right? Because Wilmington was about 300 and what, 14 million? Wilmington itself, right? So they're rebuilding that infrastructure since COVID. And then it says, and this is from the North Carolina Commerce Secretary Michelle Baker Sanders, and I quote, "Our film industry is an economic multiplier for North Carolina." And she goes on to say, "These projects not only provide thousands of job opportunities for a talented workforce, but they also support the small business communities surrounding every production set, positively impacting the local economies where they film." We are absolutely on the right pathway. We're on the right pathway. We're on the right pathway. And I would also like to invite you guys, we are now planning a Christmas event called AI Christmas, and AI Christmas, because from what my filmmakers are telling me, is that the role that AI is playing in filmmaking is growing in leaps and bounds every day. And for them to be on the cutting edge and better understand how do we continue to compete and make films and be creative, they've got to be on the cutting edge. So we're going to get together and eat some food and at the same time have some live demonstrations on how is AI impacting the film industry and how can they be better equipped to do that. I will be making some trips to Raleigh within the next couple of weeks with one mission in mind. And that mission is, how do we have a pool of resources set aside for software or whatever technologies that our filmmakers will need so they can continue to build content and be creative and add to the creative marketplace so their films have points of distribution. And that's going to be my focal point. While at the same time, looking at building the capacity for us to survive as a film festival, because we cannot go through what we went through last year and continue to survive. There's no way. I know I can do it. I cannot build capacity as the only full-time volunteer, 24/7, working, calling, begging, asking. You can't build an industry that way. It's just literally impossible. So I know the county has a lot of obligations, and I've been following all the things that you guys are doing. So I do understand. That's why you didn't hear me come before you asking to be considered in your budget this year, because I do understand, having been a member of this board in the past, and I know what you're going through. It's not easy. But this year coming might not be any easier, but on the record, I would love to come and present, because we do need help this year like never before. If this board believes that film has an opportunity to be an industry, and this board believes that our citizens all have rights to their calling and what they believe, and they want to be creatives, then I say let's do everything we can to make sure that we provide those opportunities for them, and so that I can survive another I want to just survive another year. One last thing. If you look at the back of your books, and then I'm done. I apologize for the long time, but I have not been before you guys in about a year, I think. An exciting partnership. I think this is what really saved me. Chuan University will be hosting the film festival next year, not the red carpet. So the red carpet will always take place in Berkeley County, no matter what we do and how many counties that we get involved in. And there is in this cluster is Berkeley, Hertford, Northampton, Gates, Halifax, Chuan, Pequimans, and Pasquotank. No matter what, we will always, always, always have the red carpet in Berkeley County. So that never changes. However, I'm excited about Chuan University. I have a long history with them over the last 30 years. I've been a part of Chuan University in all of the projects that deal with research and academia, because it's closer than the other universities. So please take a look at that. When they agreed, and I met with that team over there, and they agreed about a month or so ago, the burden felt a little lighter about how do we pull this off another year. So again, commissioners, I thank all of you so very, 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 very much, all of you, for all that you continue to do to support and helping create us. I appreciate it so much. And remember, we're a nonprofit, y'all.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit now. Even though I still have to, I have to work so hard. You got that, right? Thank you so much. Any questions? I apologize. Any questions? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, general election update. I don't think she's going to make it tonight, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we'll make sure. Okay, board appointments. There are none, correct?
There are no board appointments, but Director Peel did ask if I could share the 2024 general election updates.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in her absence, because she does have a meeting, on behalf of William Michael Freeman, the Chair of the Board of Elections, and the Director of Elections, Latoya Pugh, I would like to provide the following update for the 2024 general election. Early voting went extremely well for the 2024 general election. Early voting ended on Saturday, November 2nd at 3 o'clock p.m. Chairman Freeman and Director Pugh are proud to say that nearly half of our registered voters voted during early voting. However, those who did not vote during early voting will have to vote at their assigned precinct on Election Day, which is tomorrow, Tuesday, November 5th. Polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. The polling places are located at Coring 1 Precinct, at the old Coring Fire Department, Milchels 2 Precinct in Orlander, Windsor 1 Precinct in Windsor, Coring 2 Precinct in Powellsville, Maryhill Precinct in Maryhill, Windsor 2 Precinct in Askewville, Indian Woods Precinct in Windsor, Roxville Precinct in Kelford, Woodville Precinct in Lewis and Woodville, Mitchell's One Precinct in Orlando, Snakebite Precinct in Windsor, and White's Precinct in Coleraine. In the general election, all candidates and political parties are on the ballot. Voters may cross-vote, meaning voters may vote for the candidates of their choice, even if they are of a different party. Contests on the ballot include presidential preference, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, NC House, NC Senate, state local judges, county commissioners, Board of Education, and Soil and Water Conservation District. Voters voting in person are entitled to assistance by an election official, or if assistance is needed due to disability or illiteracy, by a qualified person of their choice. Registration facilities and voting sites are accessible to all voters. Curbside voting is available for voters who are not physically able to enter voting sites. Voter ID is required for voting, and acceptable IDs include a North Carolina driver's license, a state ID from the North Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles, a driver's license or non-driver ID from another state, U.S. passport or U.S. passport card, North Carolina voting voter ID, college or university student ID approved by the State Board of Elections, state or local government or charter school employee ID approved by the State Board of Elections, military or veterans ID card issued by the U.S. government, tribal enrollment card issued by a tribe recognized by the state or federal government, and or ID card issued by an agency of the U.S. government or the state of North Carolina. For additional information regarding the acceptable voter ID, photo ID, please contact the Berkshire County Board of Elections at 252-794-5306, or you may also visit us online at the North Carolina State Board of Elections.gov or Berkshire County Elections Department. Thank you.
Okay, that's it? All right, thank you. Consent agenda, approved tax release journal, July, August, September 2024. So, motion, please.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Wesson, first by Mr. Balance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Minutes. Approved minutes for August 7th of 2023.
Mr. Chairman, I want to this channel. My name has been misspelled. So for in order for it to be correct, it's still the already put I am.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can we make
that corrected? Yes, sir.
We can make a motion to approve with the amendment that Mr. Robson. Okay.
Absolutely.
And is there a motion, please?
I'll make the motion to approve based on not only on that recommendation, but also those of Attorney Smith, right, which you already have.
Okay. Second was by Mr. Balance?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Approved minutes for September 11th, 2023. Motion, please.
Same.
That
there was
a
version with me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Is there a motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we just approve minutes, clean minutes.
Thank you.
9/11/23.
Thank you, Mr. Is there a second?
Sir.
Mr. White, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approve the minutes for January 22nd, 2024.
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Wesson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approve the minutes for February 5th, 2024.
Move to approve as well.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, discussion agenda, update on obligations of the American Rescue Plan Act ARPA funds. Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir. Commissioners, on the last page of your board packet, on page 60, there's a document entitled American Rescue Plan Act Key Milestones. And at the very bottom, it says obligation deadline, which is December 31st, 2024. And what that means is all of the ARPA funds that we have received must be obligated. And they define obligated as in ready to spend, where you receive an invoice or you're either in some sort of contract where the funds are ready to be expended. And while we have, the board has approved a plan for spending the funds, so it's about $1.1 million that has not technically been obligated. So what we have to work on in the next month, and we'll have this ready by the December meeting. There are three different pieces that are needed in order for us to meet this requirement. We've had a couple meetings. Finance Director, Assistant County Manager, and I have met with a couple people from the association who specialize in ARPA funds to ensure that we meet the requirements. And so just a brief summary on those three requirements. There are five policies that all ARPA recipients must adopt to be federally compliant. Now, over the years, some of these policies have been adopted by Berkshire County. However, I recommend that the board approves all of them just to make sure, using the template that they provide, just to make sure we don't have any issues with our policies being federally compliant. And those policies include records retention, eligible use, allowable cost, civil rights / non-discrimination compliance, as well as conflict of interest. And again, for instance, a conflict of interest, we know that we have that policy, but I would recommend us using the templates that they're going to provide for us, and we will submit those to you all for approval. That was the first piece. The next piece is an updated project ordinance. So the ordinance that we currently have in place dates back, I believe, until 2021, when we first learned that we were going to get a total of $3.6 million in ARPA funds. However, we've been advised that we must update that policy to that ordinance to reflect exactly how those funds have been spent. So on the updated board ordinance that the board will be asked to approve at the next meeting will be the updated ordinance with all of the expenditures that have taken place using the ARPA funds. And then lastly, when it comes to the $1.1 million that has not been spent and that we're not technically ready to obligate, there's going to be a budget amendment that we will present for you for your approval that will allow us, what the plan is for us to use the 1.1 in ARPA funds to free up 1.1 million in our general fund, and that will go in a contingency line where it's technically simply revenue replacement. And you know that local governments who receive less than $10 million in ARPA funds do have that flexibility to do that. So at the next meeting, you'll receive a budget amendment that will show how that 1.1 million will technically be spent, but the 1.1 million from ARPA will technically be in our general fund now and as a contingency line that we'll still say that the use is how you all appropriate or approve for it to be spent, which was $600,000 for a tall glass of water. And if you remember, $500,000 for Great Grant. There were two matches that of $250,000 each that we agreed to provide when five was awarded, or Ronald Connect Holdings at that time was awarded the Great Grant. So next meeting, we plan to have those three pieces in place for your approval so that we will be compliant with the requirements of meeting the obligation deadline December 31st, 2024.
Thank you. I have one question to you, and I think I probably already know the answer, so I'll be sure. Mm-hmm. So that will be this board, this sitting board, making that determination, not a new elected.
Given that the new board will take office the first Monday in December, which will be that the meeting that we will have, technically, it will be the new board. However, if you would like for this current board to do that, we could recess this meeting if you want to have another meeting before that in order to do that. Now, if you like,
why couldn't we simply have that, make the decision around this, since we've all been connected with that spend, uh-huh. We've authorized that spend, uh-huh. And do that at the same meeting prior to.
Okay. I would just need some attorney input on that, just because, and that's something that we'll also discuss at in just a minute here on D4, it's going to be recommended that we change the meeting that was scheduled for December 9th, as you all are aware, to December 2nd. But it's usually the first meeting in December, we open up and go right into the swearing in of the new board, and then we go into the election of officers. So I'm not for sure if we have that flexibility at that meeting, technically, because the new term of the elected commissioners begins on the first Monday. The meeting should be held the following Monday, first Monday in December, following the election. So I would have to defer to our attorneys for some feedback on that. If the recommendation is for it to be held at that meeting.
I'd like to make that request.
Okay.
I think the statute says that it has to be taken place at that day. I don't think it says what time it has to take place at that day. So
okay.
If we're still in office as we are at the beginning of that meeting, let's see why we couldn't. Wouldn't be fair to ask the new commissioners if there are any. Right, and there will be
at least one that will be,
you know, to weigh in and make the decision. They've not been part of the spend in any of the investment that we've made. So if possible, legal, I'd like for this board to have a right to sit in and make that decision at the beginning of the meeting before we swear in any minute.
If possible. If I can add to that, the attorneys don't have a meeting to answer, take it back, email us and let us know what your thoughts are, please. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have a meeting answer.
I'm sorry?
Yes, sir. I believe we're going to need to look into that.
Okay, thank you. All right, next on the agenda under discussion is going to be consideration of North Carolina Forest Service request for additional funds. Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir. So, Commissioners, you all are aware of the additional request from the North Carolina Forest Services. Forest Service, as mentioned during public comments, we met Finance Officer, Assistant County Manager, and I met with the NC Forest Service staff on Thursday of last week, and at this, since that time and even before that time, what we have done, management as well as finance director, we've looked at the budget, and while there are, could be potential savings in certain line items with other things that have arisen and other things that we see coming our way, we do not feel comfortable with taking the additional $40,000 out of the general fund. However, because we have $1.1 million of unspent ARPA funds, again, that have been designated for a particular reason, instead of going into fund balance, because that's technically an option, but not an option, in my opinion, I would recommend that we take the $40,000 out of ARPA, and that way we will have some time when the obligation, when the funds are ready to be obligated for the Tall Glass of Water project, so for the Great Grant. It gives us a little time to replace that $40,000 if it's technically will even be needed. Potentially, it could be, so we need to set it aside because it is, they do need it to finalize that budget. However, in years past, sometimes the Forest Service does, they do come in under budget, meaning they don't expend everything that they have been, that has been appropriated to them. So it would be my recommendation to for the board simply to approve using $40,000 of ARPA funds to accommodate the request of NC Forest Service.
Okay. Is the finance officer here?
He was.
He just, So, but this just solves the problem while we're waiting on him to come back. This just solves the problem for this year, correct?
That is correct.
And just kicks the can later down the road. They're going to have to make a decision whether they will let people or still request a higher amount every year. That's my concern, is that this number has continuously gone up, and it was the same for, from my understanding, this is my second year, but it's been the same for a while, and now in the past 2 years, we've seen it go up almost $70,000. So that we have to have a discussion later on about that for next year budget, because it's not there. That's, I don't care about that.
Does anybody want to hear from the finance officer?
Sir.
Willie Mack, in reference to the Forestry Service and it taking ARPA funds versus fund balance, what was your suggestion as far as finance officer?
If you take your ARPA money, if you budget accordingly in the upcoming budgets with a contingency line, you could use those funds to replace what you use from ARPA.
Okay.
If you use fund balance, you have a fund balance of what, 8.69. LGC recommends it be somewhere in 20. Mm-hmm. They will accept 20, but they'd rather it be 30. Okay. Or you know their size.
Okay.
So it's however you want to go. I would recommend, if you're going to set up, or the board's going to set up a contingency line to replace those funds using your ARPA funds.
All right, that's what we want to do. Okay. All right, thank you. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we take the recommendation of both the county manager and the financial director that we use the ARPA dollars and put aside a replacement in that budget line to cover that.
Okay. Is there a second?
Sir.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, update on sale of county surplus property. Mr. Ray.
Been in contact with Mr. Ron Harrell of Ron Harrell and Associates out of Greenville. He's a commercial real estate agent. I've given him the information on the three properties that we are looking at selling. He's currently doing his market research, trying to find comparables, which given the types of property he is, you're not going to really find anything close by that's going to be comparable to these properties. He's working on that now within the next 2 weeks. He wants to schedule a meeting with myself, the county attorney, and the county manager to go over the contract. And then we can bring that to you and go from there.
Okay. I'll tell you those three properties again. Refresh me, because we had a larger list. We sold some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the
Food pantry.
Food pantry location.
The old DSS and old health department.
Right.
And the 14 acres on County Farm Road.
Does that cover everything that was on the list?
No, because the...
there's another large parcel back here by the river also.
Yeah,
we... that wasn't mentioned.
Anything else other than that?
No, because we took the one, the old extension service, we took that building out and gave that to the town.
And the one that was behind, I think, White Cross Church, we turned that over to the...
We sold that one. That was sold.
That was sold?
Okay.
Is there anything else we need to
The food truck never wanted, I thought we were going to reach out to the food truck. They wanted the old food pantry.
I have not talked to them. I haven't spoken to them. I don't know anything about that.
Did I imagine that?
No, Spine.
No, it was brought up in conversation, but I don't think it was ever, anything ever came about it.
Okay. We were going to reach out to him and
Spine has had a problem with the parking space.
Okay.
Exactly.
I don't know about the town zoning, I don't know about that, so, but that's not our concern.
One of the things you told us, Jody, after the properties did not sell, you recommended, say, look, we need large signs on the property so people can see it. We were trying to sell it through kind of advertising and marketing. Just didn't do what we thought it was going to
right.
do, right? I agree with you. I think we need some large, I think most of these properties, the message and the value of the property will be seen by people who know this area.
Right.
So we're going to do the large signs.
Right.
Listen, the signs that Ron Harrell uses, I mean, I've done business with man before, and also they're 4 foot wide by 6 foot, and it has huge logos on it. How much acreage is at the bottom of it? And the numbers that are being called, the big bold print about this tall, who to call. I mean, it does. And he has the contacts with people like Speedway. He has the contacts with people like Trademark, people of that nature. That's the reason I recommended this gentleman to do it, and that is another reason that I pulled myself out of the boat, because I have done business with him, okay? So I didn't want it to be a conflict of any sort. But anyhow, that is how he presents it. He also markets it on his websites, but he is the type of guy that actually goes out and knocks on the door and talks to him and says, listen, I got an ideal spot for you.
One thing you need to take into consideration, the 14 acres, 13.9 acres on County Farm Road. Would you be willing to accept an offer for somebody that says, I don't need 14 acres, I need 2 acres? Would the county be willing to split out the acreage? Because you're probably going to get that.
If I can step on that a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I think that could be an option depending on what's going on.
Right.
Okay. And that's what's going to have to come into conversation. Once we find that somebody says, okay, we want 2 acres, the price of that per acre for 2 acres is going to be much more than buying 14 acres per acre.
Right.
Follow what I'm saying? And we need to find out what's going on that piece of property for 2 acres to see if it's going to be advantageous for us to split that property, because we may be able to turn it into a much larger profit holding on,
right,
one way or the other. But the 2 acres would be at a much higher price than the 14 acres at per acre price.
Right. See, bring us all offers.
Yeah.
Bring us all offers.
And while we're on that road, just to make you aware, the Wrangler building sold last Wednesday.
Wow.
$425,000. Good. Yeah. Somebody out of Edenton.
$425,000.
What's the tax man? It's not $425,000. Any other questions?
I don't have any. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, line item 4, amend bond of commissioners. Okay. Amend bond of commissioners, meeting calendar, board of commissioners meeting calendar, time, locations, December meeting. Okay. Everybody knows December meeting. I'll be looking at that. Okay.
So, yeah, I'll need a motion on that, but just for everyone's knowledge, the current meeting schedule reflects a meeting on December 9th, 6 o'clock, commissioner's room. I would like to recommend that the Board of Commissioners amend the commissioner's meeting schedule to change the December 9th meeting to December 2nd, because as mentioned, the general statute mentions new terms beginning the first Monday in December following the election. And so I would like to recommend the meeting date be changed to December 2nd, and I would like to further recommend the location change from the commissioner's room to the superior courtroom.
Is there a motion on that?
Actually, the statute says that you have to be sworn in at the regular meeting place. I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but this is the regular meeting place, and I don't know any way you amend that.
Okay. I mean, and I'm totally fine with that. We've just done it before.
I know.
All right, tell me, I'm not really swearing. I've been doing this for 2 years.
Well, it's
back for the
okay, you're fired.
Say less.
It says on the first Monday in December following each general election in which county officers are elected, the persons who've been elected to county office in that election shall assemble at the regular meeting place of the Board of Commissioners. At that time, each such officer shall be sworn and subscribed to the oath of office. And that means y'all, because y'all are county officers too.
You can amend your regular meeting place for a month.
Yeah,
and then
if you wanted to do that, you can do that. If you wanted to change your regular meeting place to courtroom, you can do that. But
didn't
you need an extra motion to do
it. 1 year, be here, and then went over to the other update, right?
Yes, we did.
And we told people, and we, you know, everybody knew that, so people were waiting for us over there, but we actually opened the meeting here.
We did. But, I mean, if you want to pass just for the first, I think you have the authority to amend your meeting place for the first Monday in December if you want to do that. And that way you can swear in the board there.
All right,
you want to add that to your
all right, so the first Monday is December 2nd.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's going to be at 6 p.m., correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's when the new board will be sworn in, correct? Okay. And that'll be that. All right.
Some type of sort of action has to take place in order to make that happen, right? We need a vote of the board.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion on having the regular commissioners meeting on the first Monday, which is the 2nd of December at 6 p.m., and it will be in the courthouse.
And that means that we would amend our regular meeting policy to make that in. Right.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a first by Mr. West. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lloyd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Commissioner's report. Mr. Robinson.
Can you see everybody vote? More.
Mr. Weston.
Yeah, well, I will echo that. I think it's extremely important. I think we have a chance, since we're over
as I understand it, 50% already. We have a chance to beat the record. I think the record is around 70% in Berkeley County. So I think we have a great chance of blowing that out of the water this time. So everybody will get out and exercise their right to vote.
I echo the same sentiment. Ms. White?
Go vote.
Mr. Malice?
Echo the same. Please get out and vote.
Oh, I do have one more thing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But I guess he kind of messed it up a little bit if he's going to be at the next meeting. I was just going to say thanks to Commissioner Weston, who has done 12 long years, because two has been long, so 12 I can't imagine. So just thank you for your service to Berkeley County. I appreciate it, and I know a lot of citizens do as well.
I want to thank all of you, not only this board, but other boards I've had a chance to work with, but most of all, thank the citizens for the opportunity to serve. It's been a joy, one of the great joys in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, public comments, 3 minutes public comments. Well, I correct that. Let me go back to county manager's report.
No report.
Okay, I knew that. How about an attorney? We got a report from an attorney?
Yeah, two attorneys in my report.
All right, we'll go to public comments. 3 minute public comments. Are there any 3 minute public comments?
Mike Patruncio, North Carolina Forest Service, District Forester, out of Elizabeth City. Gentlemen, I sure do appreciate the approval. With our budget matters, we've been coming down here a lot. I appreciate your time. And just wanted to touch back on with our requests over the past few years. I'll double check these numbers. I'm going off of a document that was given to us at our meeting last Thursday. Going back to 2020, well, I'll go back prior to that, but I'll double check these numbers. 2018-19 year, we requested $125,062 from the county. The same for the 1920 fiscal year. And then going to the 2021 fiscal year, we requested $160,062. 21-22, we requested $162,035. 22-23, we requested $172,434. 23-24, we requested $164,838. And then this year, we requested $199,107. And then with taking out the initial attack truck, we reduced the request down to $171,149, which was approved. And of course, the salaries are the biggest chunk of the proposed budgets, which we put before you. Going back to 2018 was when the assistant county, one of the assistant county ranger positions was added, which contributed to the part of the increase which we have requested over the years, and of course the cost of doing business and the inflation. But I'll double check any numbers, be happy to answer any questions on that in the future, and of course we look forward to continue working closely with the county and our services, which I know the landowners and emergency response personnel, we enjoy their working with all the agencies, especially the fire departments, and our close relationship with all our other cooperators.
Again, thank you. But I have a question. I mean, because I'm looking at the budget, okay? And in 21, we got $109,027. What do you have?
That's how much we received that year.
And in 22, $116,000.
That's correct. And that was what was spent and built.
I understand, but in 23, it was $103,000.
That's correct.
Okay. And that's why this board sits there and looks at the amount of money has increased. You follow what I'm saying? That's the reason they, the $99,000 Mr. White said.
Yes.
Because we're looking at a budget here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's where we're getting our numbers from. Okay. That's been prepared by management. Okay. And that's how we get these numbers. Okay. And that's the reason I want to have this so I can read it off to you and say, hey, this is what we see. And that's the reason we say, okay, we're going from 103 to 199. Okay. Or 127 to 199. Those we're coming into conflicts over the type of numbers and this, that, and the other.
Right.
But you've got the approval for what you needed. And we'll move from there.
Okay.
Because I didn't want you to think any numbers were being made up by any.
Sure, sure.
I'm going off of what a budget is.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm seeing.
Yes, sir. And so with what we requested and what was approved, I'm seeing that we were approved for 127, mm-hmm. Well, 125 starting in 1819, 1920 was 125, and then 127 through the following years, mm-hmm. Except, well, and then add in the little extra there, well, a lot extra with the ARPA.
Right.
For to help us out with the initial attack truck back on that 22-23 year. Of course, you know, we try to be very careful with our spending, but I would go back to our vacancies, which caused that, the amount that we ended up charging the county.
How often do we release funds to the Forest Reserve? Is it quarterly or monthly?
Monthly.
Monthly? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Mike, let me say this. You know, the fact of the matter is, and I know you know this, that we are a low wealth county, right? And so, you know, trying to get the most out of the dollars that we have, and our tax rate is certainly not a low tax rate. In fact, we just raised tax rate. I think the largest tax rate we've had in my recollection of the history of this county. But even with that, it's tough. But I don't want there to be, and we have to look at every single line, the value that the Forest Service that you guys give to this county is extraordinary. And it's a lot at risk, which I want citizens to understand. We are, this year, third in the state in terms of revenue from timber. We've been first, second, $43 million at risk here. That's a lot. And I know how hard you guys work, and I know when you come to us, you're trying to give the best service that you possibly can to it. We understand that. But sometimes, you know, we have to juggle around because if we take it, we give it here, we got to take it from someplace else. So I just want you to understand that we value the service and the people who work for us. And we're going to continue to try to do our best. You know, but it's a tough job. That's the hardest part of this job, trying to do all the things we'd like to do with the revenue that we have. But we know. I talked to your folks, and I want to say this too. Not only do you do your job that's a daily job, but I was so impressed at one of the community events recently in Windsor at Evening Light Church, and your staff was there and did a terrific job showing their presence to the community. And not only was the community delighted to see you, we were delighted that you were there as well. So you do a lot of community service above and beyond the job. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate and thank you very much for your continued support. I think it's we're sort of moving into a critical time. This is a good time to. I appreciate the support. I know the Forest Service does. We're into a drought situation now. We're behind. Hopefully, the Lord will bless us with some rain in the next coming months here.
Please.
But it's very important. Right now, over the weekend, we have 11 guys working on a fire over the weekend, a couple more added. So, we will ask for help from outside of the district if we need it, but we're going to take care of it. And thank you for your support.
Just a quick question. David, you had brought up next year's budget is probably going to have two more trucks added on to it.
Well,
can you give us an idea of what these two trucks would cost?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because with the extra 40 that we just approved, what goes up to what? 171,000, something of that nature? Yeah.
That's the original.
And again, for the general public that's here, David, when Mike came spoke to us, he said, you know, the following year would be to expect two more trucks that they had talked about. So I would be curious what those two trucks would cost.
County, we're looking at...
You should be around 30,000.
30.
30,000.
The... fire truck, we're looking at, think about the outfitting also.
That's what we do, right?
I think, they're putting 6,000. That'll get you close, yeah, so probably about, it's about roughly 30,000 per truck.
Okay, so $60,000 more on top of the 171,000, so you're up to now 235,000 right in that area, place A, okay?
And so I'm not against, let me just add that, I'm not against you guys, but like I had a conversation last week with somebody who said we need XYZ in a different part of the county, and that I said, well, how are we paying for this? And I think it's real easy for people to come and request money, and I had to really explain, like, we don't have a pot of money that just comes from the state or federal government. Like, it's all revenue based on taxes, and I'm like you, we just raised taxes, and we're taxing an older population. And so when they, anyway, it's not against you. It's, I just don't know where people think we're going to get money to keep.
Yeah, and I completely understand that. And, you know, that's your all's decision, you know, to support, you know, the funds that we have. And, you know, like Commissioner Weston said, how big forestry is in Bertie. And that's why I really hope y'all can see the value we have in the Forest Service here. And, you know, approve that because, you know, most of our budget is from salaries, and that's state legislatures increased our salaries because we can't keep people. Our holes that we have in our budget is because of people, you know, not being able to hire people. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are out of our hands. Our operating budget is a lot less than our salary stuff. So,
yeah. And once we add the trucks in for next year, you're talking 35% increase in budget for next year. So those are things that are going to be considered as you measure.
Thank you.
We'll do everything we can, looking at it in preparation on the front end to keep it down as best we can. And, you know, hopefully, you know, fuel is a large line item.
And again, getting back to the tax situation this year, everybody needs to understand it affects Bertie County also.
Sure.
You know, our fuel has gone up, our tires have gone up, our mechanic fees have gone up, everything has gone up that we deal with, medications for EMS. Wages. So that's why. All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
your time.
Any other 3-minute comments?
Mark Green College.
I'd like to recognize them. Would they stand up, please introduce themselves? We'll start to the far right.
Jason Freeman, for the Chief Information Officer, IT.
There you go. Hey, doing, Jason?
Doing all right.
Brian Bush, Vice President of Student Development Services.
Yes,
Registrar's
sir.
Office, Financial Aid, Admissions Office.
Great. Happy?
Happy Jingras, Vice President of Academic Affairs and Chief Academic Officer, so all the academic piece.
Great.
Tabitha Miller, President, Martin Community College. You didn't expect to do a 3-minute thing. we're here to say hey.
No problem, yes ma'am.
Deborah Morris, Associate Vice President of the Bertie Campus. We mostly do continuing education.
Yes ma'am.
I guess I should stand too because I have the pleasure of serving as a trustee of my community college, as you guys well know. And Martin is one of the highest, really highest rated community colleges in the state. We should be very proud of them. The fact that they have a physical presence here in Bertie is very, very important. Delighted to have Ms. Marsh lead that for us, too.
Well, that's the reason I want to introduce yourselves. We thank you for everything you do for the day.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your partnership with Bertie for the education, you know, through the early college program, you know. And we still, my grandson graduated early college and got 2 degrees from my community college at one time, so that was awesome. And Ms. Marsh, she does an excellent job here. And, you know, we're really blessed to have her. You know, she does a super job. Super job. Thank you, Ms. Marsh.
So, thank you. Also, because we forget about this a lot, because people keep saying we need to bring back trades, but I gotta give it to y'all.
Yes,
he took the thunder about poor Dave, but that's fine. They provide automotive yes. for our students. They provide welding for our students. They provide cosmetology for our students.
And I'm missing justice.
One. And criminal, obviously I'm missing one. Criminal justice yes. as well. So is we do have trades in Bertie County schools, unlike what people want to say we don't, but thank you, because you guys are a great partner.
And last year in 36, we had the highest graduation rate out of all of our CCP students. Bertie County Schools had the highest graduation rate receiving credentials from Martin Community
yes.
College.
Yes, just nobody can hear you, so you said it. Like,
you want to repeat
it? Did you hear that? No.
Bertie County Schools had the highest graduation rate from
Martin Community College
out of the CCP, which is Career and College Promise.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to make sure everybody heard.
There's only one thing you need to add: construction estimate.
He'll be happy to teach you. Yes. Don't worry.
Everybody should know we have the $15 million grant to actually move and build a wing onto the new school that's going to improve the space and
yep.
the number of people that we can put in our programs.
So and we're going to add a program when we do that. Dr. Miller, you do need a 3-minute conversation. So we are at an HVAC
yes,
to the high school through Martin Community College as well.
Awesome. Yep. That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda, I think, is a closed session.
Mr. Chairman, before
yes.
you do that, earlier Mr. Wesson inquired about y'all being able to meet and vote. And you can do that as long as you do it no later than you swear in whoever the new members are. That will change the nature of the board. But if this board wants to meet and make that decision before you swear in, the new commissioner's term actually is the first Monday and December after the election when they're sworn in. So if y'all want to meet before that, before you swear in, you can actually do that.
So keep the meeting at 6 p.m. We meet and then they swear in after we do what we need to
you
do.
Call the, just call the meeting to order. Just have that one issue
gotcha.
To decide if you wish to do that. We've concluded you can perfectly legally do that. I mean, they can turn around, I guess, and perfectly legally undo it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, can I go in close session?
Save me one more email.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. Can I have a motion to go in close session?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Balance. Is there a second?
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're going into close session. Thanks, guys.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Mr. Balance, is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Robertson. We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're out of closed session. Anybody have anything else?
No, we can just make sure, ask Joe if you can bring everybody up out of the waiting room. Say that again, Joe, we couldn't hear you.
If you'll give me 1 second, I'll bring everyone in from Zoom.
Thank you. Everybody's back.
Okay, just going to close session. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So move, Mr. Chairman. We'll turn the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Is there a second?
Second.
Got a second from Mr. Wesson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Go find something.